Welcome into another episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast. I'm Kelsey Conway here with Adam Baum, and we are on our way back from the Cincinnati Bengals-Pittsburgh Steelers game where the Bengals delivered their first road win of the season, an impressive win at Heinz Field. So we're here to break it all down. So let's just start with what was the most impressive thing we saw in this win. I will go first, and I will say Logan Wilson's two interceptions today. It was a toss-up between that for me and the Jamar Chase touchdown before halftime, of course, that most eye-popping play of the day. But I think you just can't understate how important Logan Wilson's been to this team, and for him to have the type of game that he did after last week where he wasn't able to scoop and score, you know, that really bothered him, and he really wanted to start making some of these plays count. So for me, the Logan Wilson's two interceptions are the highlight of what I thought was a great performance by the Bengals. But what about you, Adam?
I think that's a great point, because I think when you look at the Bengals defense, the fact that he's starting to get it going, they have guys at all three levels on that defense that can make plays and contribute and be a valuable part of the team. But for me, I think I'm going to go offensive line, because the fact that they were able to keep Joe Burrow clean today, keep him upright, especially with Jackson Carmen making his first career NFL start. I saw a stat on Twitter not too long ago. Carmen had to protect on 19 dropbacks. Zero pressures, zero sacks allowed.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive for a freshman, for a rookie.
Freshman, rookie, same thing, you know.
No, but the offensive line as a whole, I thought they did a really good job. They were able to run the ball. They were obviously able to protect. And that's going to be the thing for this offense going forward that is going to largely determine whether or not they're able to consistently score points and keep themselves in ball games or win them when it matters. So I liked what the offensive line did today.
Well, so we'll come back to the Jackson Carmen nugget you just dropped, which was really interesting. But I want to now give the microphones to our other co-pilots who have a better view than Adam and I, and that's our photographers Sam and Kareem, who are going to share what their top moment of the day was. So Kareem, why don't you take it away?
Sure. Thanks, Kelsey. You know, I one thing I noticed about the game, and I thoroughly enjoy this, is that the game went by pretty fast, at least for me. And I enjoy shooting the game, going home, and doing the work after the game and getting out of there pretty quick. So that's one thing that I noticed. That was my favorite thing. The other thing is the Bengals seem to be very cool, calm, and collected, particularly playing at the Steelers. Historically, we see some kind of unfortunate meltdown somewhere during the game, but they just seem to be, on their game, chill, relax, and just kind of execute the game plan. And that's one thing that you gotta give credit to the coaching staff for, that because you're not really cool and collected if you're not prepared. And preparation comes from the coaching staff. So that's kind of the favorite thing that I noticed. One other thing that I really liked about this game is that they, even though, they gave Joe Mixon 18 carries, I believe it was. Is that right? I think it was 18 carries.
That's correct.
And he got 90 yards. You know, a good, strong game for Joe. It's not a epic game or a tremendous game by any means, but what I liked about it is that they stuck with the run, mm-hmm. and they didn't abandon.
Yep.
So that's one thing that I certainly appreciate. Now I'm going to hold the mic for our pilot here, Sam. He's driving. He's the wheel man. He enjoys driving. Let's see what his thoughts are.
Yeah, for me, I'll keep it brief since I'm trying to concentrate here a little bit. People are driving a little wild. But for me, I think it was just all about keeping Joe Burrow off the ground. He got that first-round pick, high-dollar player. He's coming back from a bad injury. I think you gotta do everything you can to keep him healthy. And after seeing the way he really got manhandled in Chicago last week, I think that was, for me, the biggest thing, was just to see him not get smashed up.
And one other thing I noticed about that is that when Joe Burrow was able, he seemed, like you were saying in the post-game video, Adam, he seemed more comfortable. And I think that was contagious throughout the entire team.
Yeah, he was undoubtedly the most comfortable I've seen him since I've started covering this Bengals team, which was before the season. And I think that this game was important for a lot of reasons, but I think the two most important reasons why this game will go down as one of the best games Zach Taylor has coached in his career here with the Bengals is, one, they learned how to finally win on the road, which if the Bengals want to be a contender in the AFC North, which they have the chance to be this year, you have to be able to go into environments like Heinz Field and go up to Cleveland and Baltimore and win, because as the Bengals have been on the other end of that, other teams have done that for them. So this win was huge, and to kind of get that monkey off of your back where the Bengals hadn't won in Pittsburgh since November of 2015, which is just crazy how long that was. But the second reason that I thought it was a very, very important game is because what you were talking about and what Kareem just brought up is that Joe Burrow looked like his old self before he got the injury in terms of being able to scramble out of the pocket. And you guys, you know, have been covering Joe Burrow for longer than I, so you would know more of what he looks like pre-injury. But I thought his quote following the game saying, me being able to make a check at the line of scrimmage and being able to go to that quarterback draw play, he said, was really good for my confidence, because he said, I didn't know if I was going to be able to do that this year. And I think because Joe Burrow has been so good, we kind of forget that he's still only less than a year out from his terrible knee injury. And it's almost like we have these such high expectations for him that we forget that he's still kind of coming along in some aspect. And that's why I thought that performance today from him was so important.
Yeah, and to your point, that play that you just described, you know, they're down there in the red zone, and Joe said after the game, he said that he noticed they ran an empty set, so no backs in the backfield. And he noticed that Pittsburgh, they pulled all their linebackers out of the box. Mm-hmm. And he sees that. And somewhere in the back of his mind, you know, he's still flirting with the idea of, am I able to run and move the way that I used to? And in that moment, he checks to an audible, to a design quarterback draw. And I think he had an 8-yard run. Mm-hmm. And you could tell when he was talking about it after the game how much that one play meant to him within the flow of the game. And there was another play in the first quarter that we talked mm-hmm. about earlier. The play got wiped off because of a penalty. Yeah. But this was one of the few scenarios all day where Pittsburgh got pressure. And Joe Burrow actually evaded 3 or 4 defenders and was able to get a few yards out of it, got tackled, popped up. And the play didn't count. But just to see him sort of bounce around like that and move like we saw pre-knee injury, that was something that I think is very telling in terms of where he's at. And now that he's done that and he felt it and he experienced it, I think that's gonna pay dividends for him going forward.
Well, and one more thing on this subject before we move on that I want to hit on is what you were just explaining about how Burrow said post-game that because the Bengals had gone so much empty that game, that basically the Steelers were daring them to run the ball, and that's why they had no linebackers in the box. That is exactly what Zach Taylor wants the offense to be, and you can only have that type of impact if you have a quarterback who's as accurate as Joe Burrow, who's going to make those 5 to 6 yard completions, like you said, dink and dunk you long enough and then hit you over the top for that Jamar Chase explosive play. But it takes a lot of patience, and the numbers aren't always gaudy. I mean, Joe Burrow finished with the stat line of, I think he was only completed 18 passes. Yeah, 18. He had completed 14 of 18 passes for 172 yards, 3 touchdowns for a quarterback rating of 122.9. And you look at the yards and you say, well, that's not a lot, but he and Zach Taylor showed today what the Bengals hope that their offense can be, where they have Burrow at his strength, completing with a high completion percentage, having Joe Mixon give you a couple runs of over 20 yards. But the most important part to all of that is how the offensive line played, and it showed why. I mean, we talk about it a lot, but it's because it's that important.
Yeah, and another thing that I think is kind of unavoidable in all of this is, you know, we saw we saw some flashes in that first win over Minnesota where this looked like a complete team, where the defense was getting it done and the offense was getting it done. And then we saw like a very incomplete performance in week two at Chicago. And then they do this in Pittsburgh. Now the next thing for me is I want to see them back this up with another strong showing.
Right.
Like, can you take momentum and this consistency that you found today, and can you do that again on Thursday? Can you string it together from game to game? Because ultimately, that's what good football teams do. And that's what I'm really interested to see on Thursday night is, hey, you can't get too happy or too pleased with what you did today at Pittsburgh, because you need to go do it again on Thursday night, and you need to do this game to game, and that's ultimately going to decide if this season is successful the way they want it to be or not.
Right. So since we're talking about the offensive line, let's start talking more about the Jackson Carmen start today. So Bengals draft
game for him.
Yeah, the Bengals draft him in the second round. In a lot of ways, that eased a lot of fans and, you know, outsiders' minds when the Bengals decided to take Ja'Marr Chase. I think that conversation is completely over based off the fact that Ja'Marr Chase has 4 touchdowns in 3 games and looks like he's going to be the Bengals' top playmaker for a long time.
Could be the offensive rookie of the year.
He really could if he's keeping up on this rate, and he doesn't appear to be slowing down at any time. That guy does not lack any confidence, let me just tell you that. But going back to Jackson Carmen, he has these high expectations. He's a second-round pick. He's expected to be a starter when you're picked that high in the second round. Struggles with his transition from tackle to guard. Doesn't beat Xavier Suofilo out in terms of the week one starter. Xavier Suofilo suffers a knee injury last week against the Bears. Bengals say, we're going to start Jackson Carmen at guard. And, you know, even though the Steelers didn't have T.J. Watt or Alex Highsmith and they weren't as daunting as a pass rush today, I still think when you look at a rookie getting his first start against the Pittsburgh Steelers on the road, for him to really only have – he only had one penalty, and it was early on in the game.
A false start.
And Joe Burrow said, I didn't feel anything on my right side, and that's the biggest compliment you can give an offensive lineman when he didn't allow a sack, and they were able to run the ball off to the right side. So I think credit to Jackson Carmen, and it's going to be really interesting. I know we don't want to get too excited off of one performance, but it's going to be interesting to see if Xavier Suofilo, when he's healthy, if Jackson Carmen can keep playing at a high level. We don't know the severity of Xavier Suofilo's injury, but it is a short week, so it'd be a tough turnaround if he's not able to play today. If Jackson Carmen then becomes a starter at right guard.
Yeah, that's certainly going to be a storyline that I know you're going to be following. But one cool thing that we noticed, we did the post-game press conference in the media room, and then after that we walked out onto the field to record a little video. And as we were walking out onto the field, we happened to walk by Jackson Carmen and Frank Pollock, the offensive line coach. And it was kind of cool because it looked like Pollock was congratulating Jackson on what he had done that day.
Kind of looked like a father-son moment, hugging my son.
It was cool. It was one of those things where it's like, that's like behind-the-scenes access, stuff that not necessarily all the fans get to see, but we got to sort of happen upon it. But I think the coolest thing today for me, from the Jackson Carmen perspective, was like this kid got an opportunity. And a lot of people get opportunities and they don't necessarily make the most out of it. And today he really seized that opportunity and played well. I distinctly remember one play in particular. It was a Joe Mixon, like a 28-yard run. And Jackson had the block that really sprung him.
You're sitting next to me, you said, wow, that was a pancake block.
Yeah, and it was like, that to me, that's really cool. Because here's a guy who's a rookie. And I think the first training camp depth chart that came out had him as like the third guard or something like that. And here he is playing in a big moment like that, and he makes the most of it. And who knows, maybe this was what he needed to really get him going, and we're going to find out. But if anything, even if he doesn't take that starting spot, now you know that you have two guys who can play on that offensive line.
Right. And I think it's huge to have that even if Jackson Carman does beat him out, to have that kind of safety net with a veteran, because, you know, injuries are a part of the game and you hope that they don't become a story of your team, but it's always good to have people that, you know, you can plug in and things are not going to go awry. So one more note on the offensive line that I think we should talk about, and we talked about it in our post-game video on the field on Cincinnati.com, that those who want to check it out, Adam and I did our instant takeaways following the game, but the Steelers had a streak. In 75 regular season games, they had recorded at least one sack a game. The Bengals allowed zero sacks, and I think based off the books, correct me if I'm wrong, there was not a hit recorded on Joe Burrow today.
No, not behind the line.
I know we're talking a lot about the offensive line, but we were overly, like, critical the last couple weeks. Adam, I know you weren't, but I have repeatedly said the Bengals better figure out their pass protection issues, and they better do it soon. And they did, and that's why they deserve the credit that we're giving them right now, because they looked like a different unit out there today. Jonah Williams was a little shaky early on, but I thought he settled in. And I mean, we don't talk much about Quentin Spain and Trey Hopkins, but they as a unit held their own there today. So we just wanted to give credit where credit is due and to bring up that stat, because that's pretty impressive.
It is. And honestly, you know, the last Bengals touchdown, the 9-yard touchdown pass from Burrow to Jamar Chase.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow said after the game that was 100% product of the offensive line.
Because it was his fifth read.
Yeah, fifth read. And he even said, I think he joked that, like, normally, you know, if you make it all the way to your fifth,
if he's open,
he's usually open, because it takes a while to get there. And, you know, that's he said that they walked off the field and he went over to the offensive line. And he said that one's because of you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, you guys held your blocks that long and allowed that play to unravel the way that it did for a touchdown.
Well, and Jamar Chase actually said that was his. I asked him, Jamar, what's your favorite touchdown so far out of the four touchdowns that he had? And he said that one, because I think he wants to prove that not only is he this impressive deep threat, because he can just take the top off and he's so fast. That was a shorter touchdown. Like, that showed his ability to beat Joe Hayden in a one-on-one matchup to get open. And I think that kind of for him was like a validation of, okay, if you want to try and take me away down the field, I can show you that I can still make plays in the red zone. And I thought that was an interesting thing he said.
Yeah, he mentioned Joe Hayden by name, and he said, you know, I grew up watching this guy. And that was a good question, and I thought it was a cool answer on his part. Why that is his favorite touchdown so far, because I think a lot of people would say, well, it's got to be one of the deep ones, you know. But it's not. It was the 9-yard touchdown pass across the middle in the back of the end zone against Joe Hayden.
Well, and I also think it's worth noting before we move on to the defense that the Bengals were able to have this type of offensive production without T. Higgins.
Yeah.
T. Higgins did not play today. He's dealing with a shoulder injury. We don't know the severity of it. But the Bengals were able to get a ton of production out of Tyler Boyd early on. He scored the first touchdown. He was, of course, money on third down, as he always is. And then Jamar Chase has just stepped in and assumed the role of, I mean, I truly think the Bengals have two number one receivers in T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, and that is a good problem to have, not a bad one. So defensively, we talked a little bit about Logan Wilson earlier, but when you look at the stats, Logan Wilson, when you look at the defensive numbers, Logan Wilson had 14 tackles. The next closest was Jesse Bates with 8. And I think I looked at you during the game and I said, it's been a quiet game for Jesse Bates. And someone said, yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you don't see Jesse, you know, bailing the team out and having to lead the team in tackles because the people in front of him have missed their assignments.
Exactly.
But when you look at the sheer number of 14-8, I think that shows just how productive Logan Wilson has been in the middle of the field for this defense.
Yeah, we already mentioned it, but we still haven't gotten an all-the-way look at what this Bengals defense can be, because, you know, Trey Waynes is not out there yet. I'm really interested to see what happens when they get him, and, you know, because they're going to plug him in for Eli Apple, who has struggled a little bit at times.
Played better today. I thought today was his best game.
But yeah, that's going to be another thing for this defense, is that they still have one key piece who hasn't even played yet. But I can't remember the last time, you know, I've watched the Bengals my entire life, and I don't ever remember a defense quite like them having a defense quite like this, because one of the things Logan Wilson talked about in his postgame presser was how much of an impact the defensive front is. I believe the phrase he used was, it's night and day from last year. And if you've never played football, maybe you've only watched it, if you have four guys up front who can kind of wreak havoc, it makes it darn near impossible for the offense to do anything against them. So when you've got those guys up front and they're getting off the ball, or they're not getting blown off the ball in the run game, they're holding their gaps, that defensive front is a machine right now, and they're working really well together, and they're going to be a problem going forward. This defense is good enough to keep the Bengals in football games.
That is not an exaggeration, and I think this stat proves it. The Steelers, one of the greatest franchises in the NFL in terms of stability and just pure winning. You've always, first thing when you talk about the Steelers, you talk about their defense, right? They're always good under Mike Tomlin. Historically, have been an excellent defensive team. Today, the Bengals defense had 7 quarterback hits in addition to their 4 sacks, and the Steelers had 0 quarterback hits and 0 sacks. And that's with Cam Hayward, Minkah Fitzpatrick, and they, obviously we've talked about, they didn't have TJ Watt today, but the Steelers are notorious for finding ways to come up with different ways to blitz different players. So I'm not taking anything away from what the Bengals defense is doing, because I think for the 3rd straight game, they have consistently shown that they are an elite defense in the NFL. Sam Hubbard today with 2 quarterback hits, 1 tackle for loss. Trey Hendrickson again continues to impress. He also had 2 quarterback hits. I think this group is finding their way. And did you get the vibe when listening to Trey Hendrickson talk? I think he genuinely enjoys playing up front with those guys. Like, the smile on his face when he was talking about the defensive line unit was not a fake one. Like, yeah. He just genuinely really enjoys playing with those guys up front. And you can tell because they just have this relentless, you know, let's do this together type of attitude. And I think, I don't know, it was one of the first things I noticed when Trey Hendrickson was talking, because he was a little bit quieter and reserved after the Bears game when he talked. And today, he couldn't stop grinning about how much he loves Cincinnati.
Yeah, he had his Reds hat on.
He did.
No, and the other thing that's really impressive about what the defense did today, I don't have the exact number, maybe you do, but the Steelers, they dominated the time of possession.
Yeah.
And they ran way more plays than the Bengals did offensively. And so that means the defense was on the field a lot. The Steelers ran a lot of plays at them, and the Bengals never flinched. And that was really impressive to me. I wrote this in my story from the game, but what the Bengals did to the Steelers today is what the Steelers have essentially done to the Bengals for the last 2 decades.
Amen. Kareem agrees. yeah, you're right on time of possession. The Steelers had 35 minutes and 22 seconds, and the Bengals had 24 minutes and 38 seconds, and that is what you call taking advantage of your opportunities. And, I mean, even look at the total net yards. Bengals only had 268, and the Steelers had 342, but when you look at the box score and the final score of the game,
yep,
the Bengals, it wouldn't explain that, which is why it's always good to go through the stats the kind of the way that we are right now, so you can really tell the story of the game. So before we move on from the Steelers-Bengals game, Najee Harris looked the part as a rookie. We talked about how bad the Steelers' offensive line looked today, but he was the best player on the field, point blank, and I'd say offensively and defensively for the Steelers. Did you agree?
I think he's going to be a problem, because one thing I know about the Steelers is, like, their offensive line may not be good this year, but they'll
figure it out.
Yeah, and when they get a good offensive line, they have a guy who's going to be able to do some things in Najee Harris.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see how the season kind of shakes out in the AFC North. But the Bengals controlled what they needed to control, which was winning and starting division play 1-0. So now as Joe Burrow said, it is an exciting time to be a Cincinnati Bengals fan because the Bengals now, next game is on Thursday Night Football in just a couple days, a very short turnaround for this team. It'll be a very light week of practice, but a long week in terms of coaching preparation because Thursday's going to be here before you know it. The Bengals host the Jacksonville Jaguars, and it's going to be an electric atmosphere, hopefully, at Paul Brown Stadium. That's their hope, because it's also the Bengals' Ring of Honor game, so there's going to be a lot of excitement around this. Obviously, Urban Meyer and Joe Burrow have ties. Trevor Lawrence versus Joe Burrow, the LSU-Clemson kind of rematch got going on. Storylines across the board. What are you most looking forward to seeing from the Bengals on Thursday?
That's a good question. I think, you know, there's a few things that come to mind, but I want to see them dominate Jacksonville. Like, to me, I think that this team is capable, and they showed it today, of being really good on both sides of the ball. And special teams, too. Evan McPherson is he's an assassin. he's going to be so good. But I want to see them come out and dominate. I think they have that capability, and I know it's a short week. But right now the Bengals have momentum, and momentum has been something that has been very hard to come by for the Bengals over the years. And I think if this team wants to do anything, this is a game where you should come out and you should just blow the doors off Jacksonville.
Yeah. Jacksonville obviously played the Cardinals. I think I was reading, I obviously couldn't watch it, but close for a little bit, but then Arizona's offense was just too much for them. But I agree with you. If you want people to really believe in that it's not just, you know, the up and down, what we've seen so far, play at home against a team that you should beat. You are 100% better than on offense and defense. And don't let it be a close game. Dominate. And then we'll go into the Green Bay Packers week thinking, okay, this might be a closer game than Cincinnati maybe would have thought. I think when I did my season predictions, I definitely had the Packers winning that game. And I probably still give the edge to the Packers because, hello, it's Aaron Rodgers. But if the Bengals have another dominant performance against the Jags, I don't know. I think it could be very interesting. But before we even start talking about that, we'll have to see how things shake out on Thursday night. Well, that's it from Adam and I. We hope you enjoyed our post-game reactions and this podcast. And we will be back this week to get you guys ready for the primetime football game that is Thursday night when the Bengals take on the Jags.